I wrote you a couple of weeks ago and asked you to enter some information into the Solar Cooking Wiki, and you wrote back a list of about 500 things you're involved in at the moment. So you've just been in the Yucatan, is that right?
Yeah, we just got back a couple of days ago from Yucatan, some Mayan villages. This was a project with a Rotary Club to refurbish a couple of schools and libraries with a literacy program. And actually our club bought a home, so to speak, a school for this organization called Project Itseas, Project for the People. And so a bunch of folks from my Rotary Club, Los Altos, and also from Palo Alto Club, joined Yucatan, another Rotary Club there, and we refurbished the three buildings there. And then part of that deal was that Ineke, my wife, and I give workshops in the morning on solar cookers, how to make solar cookers and how to use them. So we were making the Cook It cookers there with the people. And that went actually pretty good, because one of the wives of one of the local Rotary Club members there was a Girl Scout leader. And she really got the idea right away. And she's going to introduce this now with her scout group. So some of the seeds have been planted, and hopefully they will blossom into wider use of solar cookers out there.
So what was that like? Villages. So what was that like when you talked to them about solar cooking and showed them the cookers? Did they believe it could work?
Like usual, the reaction is with people, they don't believe it, you know.
Uh-huh.
What can this cardboard and aluminum foil, how can that cook? So, now the weather did not cooperate that well, but we were able to cook a little bit of rice. I had my Trekkers cooker there as well, which is a little bit faster than Cook It. So we got some rice out of there. And it actually rained a little bit, and it was cloudy. Once in a while the sun came out. But they got the idea. And, tasting is always the best way of knowing that it works.
And is there anything more we should talk about Yucatan before we move on?
No, that's fine. I mean, usually I spent every year in Nepal for 2 to 3 months, but I also like to pick another country to promote solar cooking and see if we can get things going. So this was a good opportunity to do this in Yucatan, and hopefully we'll go back there again to follow up on things. Also, we are introducing wheelchairs there in that village too, through a wheelchair organization which provides wheelchairs for free. So there's a lot of other activities usually besides the solar cooking I get involved in.
And how did you get connected with that village?
Well, I'm at my Rotary Club of Los Altos. We have a very enthusiastic World Community Services Committee. I was chair of the committee last year. And what we do is, with some of the funding from my club, we fund projects in developing countries. And we look at many different things on where to spend the money, like how many people can we significantly help per $1,000 of project cost, or what's the need in the country, how poor is the country, is there a good Rotary Club in the country itself we can work with, is there a good NGO, non-government organization we can work with, and so on and so forth. So we got to know the Project Itseas people. The executive director works part-time here in the San Francisco Bay Area. So, she gave some presentations to our club, and we have been involved with them over the past year. So these relationships come over time, and we feel comfortable in funding some of that money. Also because I go to Nepal every year, my club feel confident that the money is going to be well spent in Nepal. also, you know, we have done 10 matching grant projects in Nepal in the solar and other sustainable technologies. So
you're headed off to Nepal soon again?
Yes, on the February 25, I'll be out of here again, as usual, and be back around May 2nd. So,
wow, that's quite a long time.
Shorter than before, but yeah.
So what do you have planned for this Nepal trip?
Well, it's very much the same things, you know. Like I say, we have many matching grants going or in the process or close to be finished, so I need to just monitor that, make sure that everything is done properly, and also make sure that there's no problems in terms of using of the devices, and that we have the right reports on it. There's some new matching grant that just entered into the Rotary system, and so we want to set up the groundwork by talking to the local organizations inside the village. You know, you have the Women's Development Group, you have the Village Development Committee. Then Rotary sometimes has they call it Rotary Community Corps. These are the villagers who get a little bit of money from Rotary to do some humanitarian programs. And they are very helpful in making these projects work well by volunteer work and implementing the matching grant programs. So just setting up the infrastructure in the various villages where we do the projects, that's one aspect of it. The other one is I usually do a trek on my own, like typically 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, but lately 2 weeks because of the Maoist problems we have had in Nepal for many years. And, of course, bring my backpack trekker's cooker with me and, you know, demonstrate this along the trekking routes to the lodgekeepers and tourists as well, and National Park Services and so on.
Can you describe that cooker to us?
Yeah, it has been described in your website and so forth, but it is basically, it's a roll-up mylar reflector, so it reflects very nicely, 95% of the light, this plastic with aluminum coated on it, it's like a mirror, so you can, when you carry it in your backpack, it's rolled up into a little cylinder, nice one to cook, you roll it out, it looks like a lampshade, it sits between two funnels, and then I can have a beer can size of cooker pot, so to speak, and a light fixture goes over it to keep the heat in, and I put this in the focal area of my trekker's cooker, and in 20 minutes I have soup or tea for to drink, and in 35 minutes I can have a beer can full of brown rice people to sample and eat. So it's a very fast way to demonstrate to the local people that, hey, you know, you can cook with your son. Now, this is a very small device, so it weighs less than 400 grams. So I say, well, for big families of 7 to 10 people in the remote areas, this is not the one I use. And then I show, you know, pictures of the bigger cookers, you know, the box cookers, cooked cookers, and tell them places where they can go to in Kathmandu, where they can get some training in how to use them and where they can buy them. So that's sort of the way it works. And
do you send them to Sanu Kaji?
Definitely, yeah. I've been working with Sanu Kaji since the year 2000. And he is the chairman of the Foundation of Sustainable Technologies. And I really love to work with him and his organization.
Yeah, I met him in Granada this year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's a good man, and you know, he and his organization do the things out of the goodness of their heart. They have their heart in the right place. Where in many NGOs in the world, they like to help themselves first, but here we want to really help the poor of the poor. He's also very inventive. And we worked very well as a team. And nine of the 10 matching grants I've done over the past 4 years have been through this foster organization. And it works well, and it has made his organization a real more important in the whole realm of solar and sustainable technologies, and in Nepal. So it works really well.
And how did you two get connected with each other?
Well, I was at one time. I've also been working with the Center for Rural Technology, which is another good organization involved in sustainable technologies. And at that time, I didn't know Sanukaji very well. So there was a demonstration, and CRT asked me to give a talk about solar water pasteurization. And then one lady from the Belgian embassy heard me speak, and then afterwards she came to me and said, "You know, you really need to talk to Sanukaji. He's a friend of mine, and he's a wonderful person, and he's just like fanatic as you are in solar technologies." So I called up Sanukaji, and we got together, and we got to know each other very well, and the rest is history, so to speak.
What was he involved in at that time exactly? Did he have an organization already?
No, he did not have an organization. He was thinking about it, and at that time he was still with the World Bank, although a year later I think he left the World Bank, and they were laying off many personnel, and as a reward for his long-term service with the World Bank, he got to get some training. They got some funding for him to train in sustainable technologies in Denmark, and then also he came to Barbara Kerr, the Living Center in Arizona, and he also visited me. And then he started the Foundation for Sustainable Technologies NGO, and in the year 2002, as a matter of fact, through the Dutch government, I spent 3 months with Sanukaji and his organization to make FAST do some things organizationally and marketing-wise to make him and his organization more successful. And this was through the Netherlands Management Cooperation Program, which is a really nice organization in Holland where they have a database of experts in any field, doesn't matter which field. And if a developing country needs an expert in a certain area, they try to match the request with the person in the database. And then the person can go to the developing country and share his knowledge anywhere from like a week to a couple of months. So by that time I did this volunteer assignment with Sanukaji in 2002. And I've done a similar one with CRT a couple of years before that.
How many people are involved in his group?
Well, the group is about maybe 7-8 people on the board. Most of them have their own jobs. So Sanukaji, as the chair, is really full-time, and his daughter is also doing a wonderful job. And then one of the major things we I think have accomplished and make solar cooking more successful in Nepal is, like in 2002, one of the shortcomings I found that there were not any really good workshops, carpentry workshops and metalworking workshops, who could make these solar cookers well, in good quality. There was only one person who did it, and he got all kinds of jobs and all kinds of other people. So we were able to identify some good quality workshops who are willing to work with us. And, when we design these cookers or want to come up with a better product, they were willing to work with us and then come up with a better product. Those workshops, they are somewhat coupled to FAST. It's not the same organization, but it's just a close relationship, which works very well. So if you would count those in there, I mean, there's about two or three of those good workshops. You know, maybe double the number of people who are getting involved in these programs. And the nice thing is, too, that, you know, this now provides income generation for the local people. Because, like, say, for instance, the typical matching grant we do is in Nepal, we are helping 200 to 300 families per matching grant. And these grants run anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000. Lately, we have to spend more on them because of Rotary International rules. But anyway, so 200 to 300 families means, you know, typically like 200 to 300 different devices, like solar cooker, solar water pasteurizer, solar dryer. Then we also get into the rocket stoves. Sometimes we get into white LED solar lighting. And so all these type of programs now, that's sort of like high volume for these small workshops. You know, certainly they have to make 200 rocket stoves and 200 of this and 200 of that. So it really helps the economy well. And also, of course, it helps the people improve the quality of life by not being exposed to smoke and deforestation and all that.
How many stoves do you think there are, or cookers there are, like in Kathmandu at the moment?
Oh gosh, it's you know, like just in, we did these 9 matching grants, and some of them are still going. So that will be in the thousands, you know, and then of course the CRT, Center for Rural Technology, there have been thousands too. So it's maybe in the 10,000 or something like that. And it depends how you, if you calculate the water pasteurizers with the solar cookers, because sometimes what we do with these projects, the people in the village, they can select which of these devices they want, and they also, we'd like to have them pay a certain percentage of that, typically like 15%, and if they really cannot afford it, we do some microcrediting. But we want to them to really want it. So they can select typically like one or two or three, depending on their what they want. So it is a little bit hard to exactly give you the numbers, but I would say like 10,000 or more, I feel we feel comfortable with. And there's other organizations in Nepal also who do some solar cooking efforts as well.
Is there any possibility of making it completely self-supporting, where people are building cookers and selling the cookers and actually making a profit?
Well, you know, I definitely think so. And as a matter of fact, 2 years ago, I helped set up a renewable energy school with the whole objective of exactly what you are talking about, you know. And the objective of the school would be, and this is still in its infancy, but the objective is to teach students, and they can be, you know, young, old, male, female, teach them different renewable energy technologies, solar, water, hydro, biogas, you name it, okay? And then give them or let them be good give them classes in carpentry and metalworking so that they can make these devices. And then the third component is to teach them business skills so that they can actually start a small business. And then this would be a great way to disseminate different renewable energy technologies all over in Nepal. So these students, if they came from villages outside of Kathmandu, they could go back to the villages and start up a small business and doing things there. So that was sort of the overall concept of that idea. It's difficult to get started. We got one matching grant to get them off the to get them started, and I'll be back soon. soon in Nepal here to check how things were going. But I was there last year, and they did a wonderful job in actually bringing the school sort of to the village. It's about an hour north of Kathmandu, Alipat village, and brought the carpentry and metalworking equipment out there in the village, and teaching the rural population there how to make solar cookers and rocket stoves. And Tom, one of the really nice benefits I never had thought about is that these were the people we selected. First of all, you know, we first had a group of 150 people interested, and then we narrowed it down to 80, and then narrowed it down more, eventually to 20 people. And so to really have the people feel that this is really a worthwhile thing. But what I didn't realize that, you know, we had people of different caste in there. And there's one woman there, for instance, who was at the lowest caste in that village. You know, Nepal still has this caste system. And that woman just didn't dare to look you in the eye, and was very timid, and, you know, was always the last one to try things out. But over the course of the program, you know, when I was in Nepal, you know, at the end of the, when she went through the end of the class, she really, you know, has lots more confidence, was able to look you in the eye and actually give some presentations on how she felt about this whole thing. So I think it's another beautiful side effect of trying to, you know, come over this caste system, which is really making things very, very difficult for the lower caste people and the poorest of the poor to make it in this world.
Let me ask you, I know you're making rocket stoves, which are real efficient stoves, sort of a cylinder with a channel that goes through it where they can cook with small twigs,
right,
and small pieces of wood. Is that more economical for a business possibly to manufacture and sell? Is that simpler and more easily adopted?
Yeah, it's easier. It's easier to sell than to sell the solar cooker still, you know, because it is fuel wood and it is fire, and that's what the people are used to. So, I mean, the whole objective of, you know, what I'm trying to do, and Sanu and others, is really to help the people to solve the environmental problems, to solve the health problems. And, you know, and what if the sun is not there? You know, you still have to cook. So, therefore, I accepted rocket stoves and into these programs. You know, other reasons why I get involved is white light-emitting diode lighting, for instance, is also it helps the environment and helps the empower the people. If they have some lights in their huts at night, they can do some. The kids can do some homework, or the people can do some handicrafts, and you avoid the problem of kerosene stoves which can explode. Or sometimes they use branches and put them to fire to get some lighting. So again, you help the uh-huh. environment and you help the people. So we have called solar cookers and water pressurization and heat retaining boxes, rocket stove, the integrated cooking method. But I'm going actually one more step further and look at other things too, like these small photovoltaics, white light emitting diode things, and all that is going towards the same goal of less pollution and empowering the people. So that's a long answer to your question.
Oh, that's good.
Definitely, the rocket stoves are much easier to sell, and they are going like gangbusters actually.
Oh, are those actually self-sustaining then at this moment?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So. Yeah.
And water pasteurization, now do people there, because I know I've heard that some people don't necessarily believe there could be anything in their water that they can't see that might be hurting them. Is that the case in Nepal, or do they?
Well, we teach them, we tell them that, you know, I think they understand often that the water affects them, but you know they are so used to it that they get sick a couple of days, and they just even though you tell them about what you can pasteurize water, if they don't have the education, they just you know they're used to it. But in the areas where we have our programs, the water pasteurizers are being used. Once in a while, we check up on the village and look, you know, if these water pasteurizers or solar cookers are out there, and they are using it. But it's definitely, you know, you have to keep on educating the people and telling them about the effects of unsanitary water. Of course, you know, the other aspect, of course, is sanitation. I mean, they sort of go hand in hand. So that's some of the other options for these matching grant devices people can choose would be like eco-toilets. And, you know, the most simple one we have been promoting is basically the bucket. A simple bucket and then the sawdust, where you can do your solid or liquid job, and then you cover it with sawdust, and it doesn't smell. And so this would be a much better way than just going to the bathroom outside in the field or in the water, so that bacteria and so forth don't wind up into the groundwater.
I see.
But the people realize that quite often that the water is has problems.
Now, I noticed in this email you wrote me that you mentioned solving hunger, malnutrition, and brain damage.
Oh, yeah.
What did you mean by brain damage?
Well, this is a project, this is a matching grant we are going to do. We're entering it right now into the system in Indonesia. It's the island Nias, which is very close to the epicenter of tsunami. The inlands of this island have never gotten any help from any of the big organizations after the tsunami disaster. So we are working with the Rotary Club of Jakarta Central, with whom we have done another tsunami project in Aceh. But anyway, in this particular island, there's a severe malnutrition of the children, and many children die because of malnutrition, but also because there's, you know, lack of food and vitamins. These kids are brain damaged, and this is very common in Indonesia, apparently. So we are trying to, in this particular project, we have a three-pronged approach. It's first getting these kids back to where they should be by providing food and vitamins, but also teaching their parents about proper food and so forth. Now, and the second part of this program is to do sustainable agriculture, so that the people know how to grow the proper vegetables and fruits for their food, so that malnutrition will not be an issue in the future. And the third component is actually also teaching the women proper sanitation, proper health procedures, and so forth. And actually, there's a fourth component is water, and providing good drinking water, as all over the world, is a big problem also there. So we're looking at two options here: one, drilling wells, and the other one is using solar cookers to pasteurize contaminated water. But see, this brain damage of these kids, the thing is, if some of these kids do survive, you will get another generation of their kids who are brain damaged. So we call this program the Lost Generation. So we hope to solve that whole malnutrition problem there is sustainable agriculture, good food, and proper sanitation. And hopefully this project can be a model for the Actually, the World Bank, one of these Rotary Club members of Jakarta Central, has some connections with the World Bank. So, and the World Bank is very interested to watch this program. So maybe this program can be cloned after successful implementation, which takes about 9 months or so. We have a lot of hope that we can improve quality of life there in Indonesia in a major way in the long term.
Now, I see you mentioned Afghanistan also in your mail.
Oh, Afghanistan, yes. We have done some projects in Afghanistan with a very good organization, Trust in Education. It's a gentleman in the East Bay here, San Francisco East Bay, who set up this NGO after the disaster in Afghanistan happened a couple of years ago. The first project was to grow fruit trees, so we gave money to grow fruit trees instead of have an alternative to growing poppies and the opium business. And you know, the villagers who are involved in this actually also there's some schools involved too. This Trust in Education has set up a school, but the villagers take a risk here because girls going to the school and the Taliban doesn't like that idea. So if the Taliban ever comes back in there, they will be really affected by it. So presents a risk for the local people as well. Anyway, and the second project in Afghanistan, what I was emailing you about, is again drilling some water wells in the village there, so they can get good water, and also water pasteurization for water which may be contaminated. The water, health, and hunger is sort of a major topic for Rotary International, and I'm the district chair for Rotary. There's about 65 clubs in my district, and I have this water, health, and hunger task force. And so what I want clubs to do in my district is to have at least one or more projects in either water, health, or hunger, both internationally as well as locally. So I make presentations to various clubs, and of course also promote the solar cooking and the water pasteurization in there. But typically I help them, I try to help them with implementing some of these proposals. And also some of these clubs have partnered with my club to do joint projects, like, for instance, the ones in Nepal and in Afghanistan.
What about there's these student groups involved with the Rotary Club that are making solar cookers for Congo, I see here?
Yeah. I just started this about 3 months ago or so. Because of this water, health, and hunger responsibility I have, I heard that the Interactors we're going to do an international project in the Congo. Now, Interactors are high school kids who they form a club in the high school, and they get some guidance from a local Rotary club, and they get involved in humanitarian and community type of programs. We want it to be, an example, and teach them how to do things when they are adults. So these are the Interactors. So last year they did the $50,000 program in Africa, providing water pumps in the poor villages in Africa. So this year I heard that they were planning to do this hunger project in Congo. So I give a presentation to the board of these Interactors of the whole area. There's about 70 or 80 clubs, and then their presidents and vice presidents, they meet once a month to talk about various issues. So I got in there one time, like 3 months ago, and I brought my solar cookers out there, and I explained that, hey, if you're doing a hunger project in the Congo, why not include solar cooking and water pasteurization in there? because people still, even if you give them food, they still need to cook it. So how do you solve that? And then quite often the women in the Congo also, they have to go far out to get the fuel wood. And when they do this, they have a chance to be attacked and being raped. It happens quite a bit. And then you get the HIV/AIDS situation and so forth and so on. So I've been trying to have them put solar cookers into that program. So then a month later, I got some emails from some of the clubs, who in of a particular area, there are 7 of these high school clubs. They asked me if I could give a little workshop in making of solar cookers and water pasteurization indicators. Sorry. So I did that, and then we talked some more, and then just when I came back from Mexico on that Saturday, they asked me to give a presentation. There was a presentation in Marin County on where all the interactors and the road directors got a retreat. So I gave a presentation there, and so I think solar cookers have found a home in the Interact community. One of the other things I've also been promoting now at Wisdom is that it's not only for developing countries, but for here, you know, in our own country, it's very good for like emergency response. It's still difficult to get people to do solar cooking on a daily basis like you and I do. But if you market this as a emergency response situation where, okay, there's a disaster, there's an earthquake, you still, you know, there's no electricity or gas, you know, we still need to cook and to have good water. So by making these cook kits locally, that will be a good thing for emergency response. And also they can use it for fundraising. So you could sell their cook kits to either their parents or to Rotary members, and then the Rotary member or the parents could either give this solar cooker dedicated to a family in the Congo, or they could use it for themselves in their own home or for camping or both. So I'm hopefully that this thing will take off in a major way and hopefully on a sustainable basis too, so that solar cooking you know, as a topic will be there for the years to come. So it's something new I started, and I'm really excited about the whole thing.
So you've woven the Rotary clubs throughout this, everything we've been talking about. And I know when you and I were speaking in Spain this summer, last summer, you were mentioning, you were sort of urging me to get involved with Rotary. So why don't you make your case here for how people can get involved with Rotary to get their solar cooking out there more?
Well, you know, this is the thing. I have resisted Rotary for many years because sometimes in these developing countries, what I've seen on clubs, they may not be all that good in terms of getting their hands dirty. But then I thought, okay, I'll try it for a year, and if it doesn't work, fine, I've tried it. Now I've been able to, you know, like in Nepal and other countries, I look for the good clubs to work with, okay. And the advantage of becoming a Rotary member, like I did 4 years ago, is that, you know, you can, inside your club, you can get people excited about the thing you're particularly interested in. And so for me, it was the solar cooking and the water pasteurization and Nepal and other developing countries. So I became member of this World Community Service Committee. I mean, every Rotary club has an international service committee. I got in there and immediately started pushing for, you know, the all the advantages of solar and sustainable technologies. And since they know that I go to these countries on, you know, and go back to them and follow up on things, I've been able to talk the World Community Service Committee into many of these projects. So you can advance your agenda in doing that. You have a say in these international projects, then you also can network with other Rotary clubs in your area, make presentations. You know, you can be the speaker of the day, which all these clubs have, you know, when they meet once a week, this half hour where they can speak on any topic. So usually I bring in my solar cookers, demonstrate those, and then have a PowerPoint slideshow presentation on solar cooking and how this really helps the environment, the people, empowers the people, and also helps the United Nations Development Millennium Goals in a major way. So you can really put forth your agenda in solar cooking if you join. Now you can also join Lions clubs, or other community service club, but I joined Rotary, and it has worked out. You know, I was skeptical when I did it, okay, but I'm really very glad that this happened to me. The other aspect is, Rotary, the networking. It is very good in these developing countries. The Rotarians always know people, and they have the, like in the developing countries too, they have the interactors, the high school kids. But then I didn't talk about the Rotaractors. This is another sort of groups. They are the 20-year-olds, from the 22s to 30-year-olds, something like that. Groups which are not Rotarians yet, but they also want to do humanitarian humanitarian type of projects. So they also have a network there. So if you want to do these programs in developing countries, by using that total network here, makes it much easier and more effective to get programs going. So there's another aspect. This Rotary is called the Youth Act, and just 2 days ago, I went to an elementary school and gave a solar cooking PowerPoint slideshow presentation to the kids. They were fourth grade kids, about 120 of them, for about an hour. And then afterwards, for about 3 hours, 30 of these kids and I made 30 cookies cookers. And again, the school, the head of the school is very excited about this whole thing. So I hope to duplicate this also in other schools. And again, I got in contact with this school through a Rotary member who heard about what I was doing. So the networking aspect is really key in this whole thing.
Wow, that sounds very useful. And it also sounds like you're not letting the grass grow under your feet. And you're not sitting around waiting for somebody else to do everything.
No, it's actually sometimes it gets too much, but my wife tells me, okay, say no, but as long as I can do it, it's a lot of fun, and it keeps me off the streets, so to speak.
Well, I hope we can talk again after you get back from your next trip.
Sure.
And put some more information into the wiki, what you find. So, nice talking to you.
All right. Okay, Tom, thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, bye.
Take care.